Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Star Talk, your place in the universe where science and pop culture collide. Star Talk begins right now. This is Star Talk. I'm your host, Neil deGrasse Tyson, your personal astrophysicist, and I'm also director of New York City's Hayden Planetarium at the American Museum of Natural History. And I got with me my co-host, Chuck Nice.
Hey, Neil.
Chucky baby.
Hey, how are you?
Tweeting at Chuck Nice Comic.
Thank you, sir. Yes.
I follow you, by the way.
I follow you, too.
You do. That's
to
very
the
nice
ends
of
the earth, my friend. To the ends of the earth.
Actually, I might follow you in a list. I have a lot of lists that I follow, because I follow comedians and
okay,
I follow
now,
scientists.
Now I don't feel special.
Oh, sorry.
Like you have yet, I follow you. Then you qualify. I follow you.
46 entities, which includes like the Pentagon,
right,
and you know the Navy and DARPA,
right,
and Chuck.
And Chuck Nice. Somebody will find your Twitter profile and be like, "How did Chuck hack his Twitter profile to get in this list?"
Well, today we're exploring the science of the singing voice.
Ooh.
Through my interview with singer-songwriter Kelly Clarkson.
Miss Independent.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, the full interview, because for this we cut and paste for this, The full interview is available on the Star Talk YouTube channel.
Very nice.
All right. And her newest album, which is how she landed in our universe, Is called The Meaning of Life.
Oh.
That's how this happened.
Let me tell you, if Kelly Clarkson is telling me the meaning of life, I don't want to live.
What?
I'm just saying.
So we have in studio expert guest, because I am no vocologist or vocal. I sing really good in the shower.
Well, you know, now your speaking voice would betray the fact that you might be able to sing well
in the shower. Oh, yeah. That's it.
Oh, okay.
The acoustics in the shower make everybody sound good. our guest today is professor and performer Brian Gill. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Hey, thank you very much.
So you are, I got here, you are associate professor of voice.
Yes.
That's a thing.
Yes, and voice pedagogy.
And voice pedagogy.
Yes.
Wow.
At Indiana University.
Yes.
This is in Bloomington, Indiana.
Bloomington, Indiana, yes. Lovely little college town.
The Jacobs School of Music.
Yes.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And it says here you are a vocologist.
Yes.
Vocologist.
That's just wrong. That should not be a word.
Yeah. They made that up.
You made that up.
I did it real quick on the fly.
I'm sorry. I won't be in this Friday. I have an appointment with my vocologist.
Yeah.
You're fired.
It sounds official. So then
it does. Just because you're good at a thing doesn't mean you put ologist on it. And then that's another thing.
Are you a voice teacher or a vocologist?
I'm a funnyologist.
I'm a comedologist.
Comedologist.
So you're a tenor.
Yes.
And you're a performer as a tenor. An opera, musical theater, love musical theater, concert recitals in the U.S. and in Europe. I feel privileged that you're in town.
I feel privileged to be here with you two.
We snatched you out of, you were going to head back to Indiana yesterday.
Yes, and going back tonight.
And we delayed your plane knowing that you were So I got to know.
Trouble on the tarmac.
I got to know. I know the guy who does checks the engines.
Right. You see that dude out there with the two like cones, lit up cones?
Yeah,
those are Neil's
buddies.
They
dragged me off. Right. I didn't know what hit me.
So I have to ask, what specifically is vocology?
The quick definition, science and practice of voice habilitation, and if necessary, rehabilitation.
Gotcha.
Now I know what habilitation is.
Yeah.
I never knew. We all know what rehabilitation is.
Of course.
Is. But nobody ever habilitates.
Truly.
No, only in private. Yeah, I do habilitate.
Fix it later. Wait till it's broken.
Well, so habilitate is what would that be then? The sustenance and care and feeding of your voice.
You teach a person
so you
really high-level function so you do not injure your voice.
So you don't injure it.
Yes.
So then you don't have to rehabilitate.
That's right, because it's more difficult to rehabilitate than habilitate. Gotcha. Once the system's broken, to get the pieces back together, including the mind and how the person reacted to the injury or the breakdown of the system, is very difficult.
Wow.
No.
Wow, that's when you know you're a real singer, when you have a singing injury.
And about,
I would love to be in this opera, but I'm on injured reserve. Right.
I tore my rotator cuff in my voice.
Now playing the part of Carmen, unfortunately.
Well, then,
due to injury.
I'm out for the season.
He's out for the season.
Right. Yes.
That's what happens. But it covers any professional voice user, which would also be someone like you all that use your voice in this medium.
Right.
So
we do.
That's right. Yeah, so if something happens with a politician or a teacher at school or something like that, because they have a heavy voice load, then a vocalologist is uniquely trained to help them out.
I remember Bill Clinton.
Yes.
I remember he ran into, he already sounded like this to begin with. Yeah, I just want to let you know that I talk like this because I'm not habilitating the way I should. And then I remember he was either campaigning for himself or Hillary or Barack Obama. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he had to come off the campaign trail because
he had injured his voice.
Yeah, and they called it an injury.
Yeah. It's a really common thing, unfortunately.
Okay.
Wow. But if you're habilitated.
Interesting.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. Nice.
All right. So we'll be drawing on your expertise heavily for this conversation that I've had with Kelly Clarkson. She's been judged as one of the best vocalists in the industry.
I'm going to say so, yeah.
She's got a powerhouse voice.
Mm-hmm. She does.
She's versatile.
Mm-hmm.
Sold 25 million albums, 36 million singles worldwide.
Jeez.
And she was the first artist in history. I got crack team of researchers here to top each of Billboard's pop, adult contemporary, country, and dance charts.
Wow. Man. And only two of those actually count.
Which one's pop and dance? Right. No, country people.
Now is huge.
Country's huge. What do I know?
Yeah.
I'm joking.
So I had to ask her about her newest album, The Meaning of Life. Check it out. So The Meaning of Life is your eighth album.
Yes.
And now, forgive me, I haven't heard all your albums.
Yes.
But I heard this one.
I'm so offended.
But I've listened.
I'm leaving. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
But I've heard the stuff that is charted off of those albums.
Yeah,
of course,
yeah.
I've heard those. In this album, there's a soulfulness to it.
Yes.
But it has sort of pop roots, bringing soul into it.
Pop.
And I'm old enough that I'm trying to ask myself, where would they have put this album in the stovepiped categories in a record shop?
Yeah.
And I don't think there's a spot.
No, I mean, it's, I guess, pop, just because
it's
popular.
No, there's too much soul. Excuse me. No, it is
a more soulful pop. Well, it's funny,
tell you
though.
Because you sing, and I just have to stop what I'm doing and feel it.
It is soulful pop, and there's definitely a difference when you listen to this album versus the other albums. I mean, you can just, I'm happy. And it creates a whole different, that happiness creates a whole domino effect of different sounds and tones. And even the freedom that Atlantic has given me creates a whole different vibe. Because an artist in their form to where they're able to just go, okay, well, wait, I can do whatever I want. Like, you know.
Like, what? Holy.
Yeah, it's scary because you're like, wait, it's all on me.
Now you're accountable.
Yeah.
This stuff doesn't sell.
Yeah. Right. But luckily, I was telling my husband this, like, even before the album dropped, I was like, I've literally been waiting so long to make this musical footprint that, like, even if it didn't do as well as other things, I'm still happy at the end of the day for that, you know, because I've been very blessed. I've had 15 great years of success and I'm very thankful.
So Brian, from a sort of a vocalologist's perspective, what sets her voice apart?
Happiness.
I think now that we heard that, I love that. That's beautiful.
And now we know that she was miserable for the last 15 years before this album.
Well, she's what I'd call a thoroughbred of vocalists, mm-hmm. in that she can do something that's a very high demand on the voice, the amount of we call it connection at the vocal fold level, and that
vocal
she's
fold.
Vocal
what
fold.
Is that?
The vocal folds are two flaps of tissue in the larynx right here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't do that! Oh, wow! Let's see if I can do that.
That when air.
No, I can't. I don't even know what that is.
Well, flick your finger into your throat.
He plucked his throat and made
a
sound.
We'll get to acoustics soon, right? Yeah, that's it. There you go.
No, I'm not doing that to my neck. I'm sorry.
First of all, let's get around.
Let me tell you something.
No, I think he's a robot.
I am plucking myself so hard that it hurts, and I still can't get any sound out of it.
Yeah, you have to close the vocal folds, and you'll get it.
So I'll close the vocal folds.
Like you're lifting something. You go.
Oh, my God.
Ow!
It worked.
Nice
job.
Susan, I am not even attempting
that. That's it.
I'm sorry.
That's it. Nice.
Yeah, but you can't breathe.
But she's been able to sustain that kind of production and really, really well over 15 plus years. I mean, it's been 15 years in stardom, but even longer than that. So
now, is that something natural, or can you? Is it like?
But we'll get to that. Let me get to that.
Okay,
later.
I'm sorry.
So Brian, you performed opera, hard rock,
yes,
funk
when I had hair.
Okay.
Yes. Funk. Yeah.
Funk. Uh-huh. Not in Indiana.
No.
I'm guessing that was in another municipality.
Another life. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Yeah.
Jazz, even Indian classical music, yeah. which
Indian
I love. I love Indian classical.
No.
Of these genres, not only the ones you performed in, but what Kelly Clarkson has shined in, can you rank them based on the demands on vocal performance?
Mm. I think they all have different demands, especially hard rock, sort of the gravel people expect in the voice, and heavy metal, that kind of thing.
Ooh, but gravel. I mean, like a Janis Joplin.
Yeah.
Joplin gravel.
It's like a noise, kind of like a snarl.
A grit.
Exactly,
You're taking a dump and drinking Jack Daniels at the same time. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz?
Where did you get that?
Difficult to pass.
Get out of my head.
It's hard. I'm just saying, it's a difficult thing to do.
Don't say things I can't then get out of my head for the next 48 hours.
It's got to sound more constipated.
Exactly. Janice, we need more constipation. My friends all have Jaguars. You know what I mean?
That's it.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Or like Joe Cocker.
Yeah, Joe Cocker, man.
Yeah, yeah.
But then you get to, like, for Westerners, Indian classical music involves different tonality, and that's really challenging. So figuring out how to do that. Luckily, I was not the lead singer, so I was the head of a backing group
I'm sorry, I don't know anything about Indian classical music. Is that the music that goes on for like a half hour without
it can
a key change?
Yes, it can go on a long time with just a beat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool.
And they kind of chant.
Sitar's in there somewhere,
uh-huh.
too.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yep.
cool.
All right.
Yep.
Cool.
So in these genres then, because they come from such different cultural places, country, Indian, funk, pop, is it technique or do you have to actually feel it? Do you need some genetic link back into that place to draw from in order to perform or to excel?
Both. I think there's a technique to it. There's a way that you use your voice that you can actually define in a scientific way what the people are doing. It's not it's no longer as much of a mystery. But then there's also an exposure to a genre that's in absolutely imperative someone have, or else
they sound
like a poser. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to grow up loving it.
Yeah. And it's got to be in your under your skin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I have people who come to me as opera singers, and then they're like, I want to do a little bit more rock. But I was like, "Well, do you like rock? Not really."
And they get the hell out of here.
Yeah, they're gonna sound
funny. The guy
funny.
Down the hallway.
Yeah.
So I asked Kelly about her, how she conveys feelings and emotions in her singing. So let's check it out. Now that's got me thinking. I can read a poem on a page or rhyme, and it'll mean something informationally to me, perhaps. But if I hear you sing it, there's a whole other conduit of communication going on.
Oh, definitely.
And
it's emotions.
Are you must be self-aware of that, and you can go in there and you can
manipulate
it. What's your balance?
I like to be be a bit poetic, but at the same time, keep the story simple enough to where people aren't focused on the words of the story. It's more focused on the feeling of the story. Because I'm more of an emotional person.
Because otherwise,
than
just go out and read a damn book.
Yeah, I mean,
if you want words, too many words. All right.
Yeah, like I always feel like, okay, I know I talk about Meryl Streep a lot, but my point
not
of her.
Not yet on this show.
I know, but I'm just saying, I do talk about her a lot. But here's my point, and I've never said this before, but it's like, because
I love
feel
me some
like,
Meryl Streep.
Oh, but I feel like she's one of those people, it could be a silent movie, and she would effortlessly, flawlessly dictate by her emotions, her eyes, just her, every part of her, you would know exactly what she's saying without her saying anything through the entire movie. I think she would have been like the most fantastic silent actress as well. She does so much. And I think that as a singer too, like that's what I try to do, like with songs, I try to like, you know, whatever the words are, I could be not saying words at all and just singing melody, but by my intensity or by
the modulation of that,
or by intensity, my emotion, yeah, you could almost tell the story I'm saying without even there being words.
Yeah, so Brian, is there, would you say there's an evolutionary propensity to respond to a singing voice as opposed to just a spoken voice? And why? I mean, if you're just communicating information, I'll just utter a sentence. Mm-hmm. But somehow that doesn't work as well as if I sing a sentence.
Yeah, I think singing and the different timbres that you have and ranges that you use in singing are more impactful with communication. You know, Darwin had thought that in hominids, like early, the progenitor of man, you know, that the first utterances were probably musical. And so, I mean, if you think about most species.
Like doo-wop or?
Yeah, like a little doo-wop.
Bunch of cavemen, just like,
we don't have vocabulary yet.
That's right.
So it's just, ba ba doo ba ba da ba doo ba.
They can't say you're out of
tune. That's where scat was invented.
But most species have some kind of song for mating and attracting people and identifying, you know, family and territory and all those things.
That's just. An early hominid standing outside of a cave going, my mind's telling me yes, but my body's telling me no. Come on out here, girl.
Oh, Lord.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry. I had to ask Kelly about the basis for the thematic basis for her current album.
Yeah.
So let's check it out. The meaning of life.
It, when you say it like that, it's far more dramatic.
That's kind of bodacious, audacious.
Yes.
To be calling your album.
It was bold.
It was bold.
You can figure out the meaning of life when you buy my album.
That's a great selling point.
It's like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the golden ticket.
Wow. Okay. So that means I don't get to learn it.
I know. Not just yet. Not till you get it. I'm just saying.
So the meaning of life, is this something you've known for a while or just kind of came onto it?
No, I mean, I think we're all under construction. And I think the point of doing it.
We're all under construction.
We are. And beautiful. I think that meaning of life is really just about connection and making sure they're positive connections. You know, there's always people to people. Yeah. So, and really, I think it's simple. I think we complicate it as humans because we try and figure everything out. And sometimes you can't, you know?
But you're...
Well, sometimes you can. I can't.
your mother was a school teacher.
She was.
So here you are making it part of your life's mission to figure things out. And at school teacher, they're trying to get their kids to figure stuff out.
Yeah, I think so teachers question. She always taught me to question. And I think that's the best part of whether you're talking about faith, politics, life, any you know, love. It's always to question it. Like it's always, I love that. I love to question whatever's happening in the moment. One, to make sure it's real. And two, just because I don't think when you stop questioning, then you stop asking, you stop caring. Right? I don't know.
I can't say it better than that.
I bet you can. No. I bet you can effortlessly.
No. Coming up, more on the science of voice and my interview with Kelly Clarkson when Star Talk returns.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you, like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the US on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Whether you're a family vacation traveler, business tripper, or long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. And that's good, because there are a lot of me's. Choice Hotels has over 7,400 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels. Get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. Cambria Hotels feature locally inspired hotel bars with specialty cocktails and downtown locations in the center of it all. Hey, that's me. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces to get the most of your business travel and on-site restaurants. That's me, too. And at Comfort Hotels, you'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles, great pools for the entire family, and spacious rooms. Hey, that's me, too. I guess I'm just going to have to stay at all of them. Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travel comes true.
Welcome back to Star Talk. I'm with my coach, Chuck Nice.
That's right.
And our expert guest in this episode, Brian Gill, professor of voice at Indiana University.
Hello.
Bloomington.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about the science of the singing voice, featuring my interview with Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah.
And I just had something to follow up. We talked about your capacity to bring an emotion or an authenticity to what it is you sing.
Right.
And I remembered... I like James Taylor, but not enough to buy all his albums. I waited till he had his greatest hits, and I bought the greatest hits album.
Okay.
And on there,
Were you having trouble sleeping?
No. My sister can't get enough of him, and so goes to all his concerts and everything.
Right.
And so I'm listening to the album, and I'm a fan of the blues.
Right.
Okay. And in there, he has
a blues song,
the Steamroller Blues.
Oh, James Taylor.
He has a blues song. And then I said, okay, he's trying.
Yeah.
But, he went to like a prep school in Massachusetts
right.
in high school and it goes to Martha's Vineyard. And how many blues singers ever came out of Massachusetts?
Yeah.
And so I could.
Woke up this morning. But the Volvo wouldn't start.
He does drop the F bomb though in that one.
He does.
So I think that does.
Okay. Is that what that was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So improv at the end.
It just wasn't working for me.
Yeah.
He was not convincing as it wasn't working. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
It wasn't working for him either. I'm letting you know. But I think the blues as a genre is probably the one that you would have to feel the most.
I'm thinking.
In order to.
I tweeted recently the list of states that blues singers don't tend to come from.
Oh, I love that.
Utah.
Top of the list.
Utah. Oh, my God.
New Hampshire.
Yes. Dude, that's amazing. How did I miss that tweet? That's amazing.
How did I miss that tweet?
That is phenomenal.
Yeah, you got to be like from Alabama.
Right.
Mississippi.
Exactly.
You got to be Poe in Chicago.
You got to be Poe in Chicago. Yeah. That's it. Right. Louisiana.
Yeah, someplace.
Right. Exactly. There's got to be some poor black people near you somewhere. That's what it is.
Or you don't have the blues.
You want Colorado?
Colorado blues?
No.
You know what I mean?
Right.
What do they sing about? Just like
Rocky
no
Mountain
snow
High.
This, yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. That's what
my
you get.
My skis broke.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? No hot chocolate at the lodge? Yeah. Like, really?
Only three marshmallows?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Oh, that's brilliant.
So, I know, just saying.
That's brilliant.
You got to find that tweet.
That is, I can't
about six
wait.
States.
Yeah, that is brilliant. And the Utah blues, I'm going home to write that. I'm going to write that song tonight, I guarantee you. The Utah blues. Can't wait.
So let's get back to my interview with Kelly Clarkson and see where that takes us next. Check it out. Do you think of your voice as an instrument that needs cultivating and care? And,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I have to.
The reason why I ask is we were in the green room before you performed in the YouTube space. But before, you were like just yucking it up with everybody in the green room and you just walk out there and then out comes this.
Well, I warmed up earlier this morning. So I definitely aimed to warm up every day. It's just like a speaker, like a public speaker. Your voice is, or a runner, your voice is a muscle. You know, it's these little things that you have to keep trained. And I know some singers don't have to. I think I've heard Jennifer In an interview, Jennifer Hudson, she said that she didn't.
Your first name people.
Oh, sorry. Right,
I'm going to start name dropping first name.
No.
Okay.
I'm saying it because I don't think she does.
Stephen Hawking. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right. My turn. Okay.
My turn. Yeah, you're in a different pool of people.
I was meeting Ike the other day. Yeah. Isaac Newton. Yes. Okay.
Jennifer Hudson. No, I'm saying she's a huge
another
big
American
vocalist
Idol
as well. Mm-hmm. Yes. And she's a big vocalist, and she doesn't. She said in the interviews, I found it shocking. She was like, I don't warm up at all. It just happens. So I'm not like that. I have to warm up a bit. There, I can do it. It's just not going to sound as good.
Okay. Now, not to call you out, but you are 15 years older than you were when you won American Idol. So is the warm up the same?
Oh, it's now? Easier.
Easier.
Yeah, I think. Why? You know what's funny? I saw Tony Bennett at this.
Tony Bennett. Another. Thank you. No, that's fine. Had both names. I saw Tony.
No, well, I was at this event, and this was years ago, and he sang, and he was, 80 something, and I was like, I mean, he killed all of us. Mm-hmm. Like, he was amazing. And I'm a Tony Bennett fan, but I was, I don't know. I thought maybe the older we get, I don't know, sometimes people sound different. He sounds even better, a fine glass of wine. It's so beautiful. Yeah. And I will say, if you're doing things correctly and you're taking care of yourself and you're not ruining your chords, I think that you get better with age. Your voice sounds more lived in, and it sounds like I can go lower, I can go higher.
I like that phrase, lived in.
Yeah.
Like a good pair of boots. Just to be clear, in the green room before she went out,
okay,
I understated what she was doing in the green room. She had friends, her husband, her agent, her book, everybody, and she's just yucking it up with everybody while she's eating chicken and waffles.
Wow.
Just scarfing down chicken and waffles. So I'm thinking.
That's a good warm up.
What's about to happen after this? I'd had no idea. She went out there
and ripped it
and
apart.
just tore a new one.
Destroyed.
So tell me about the anatomy of the vocal cords.
So, there are two.
And while you're at it, I'd like to distinguish them, if you can, from that of other primates or anything else that would make sounds like birds or whales. Yeah.
Ooh.
One of the main things in human beings, the larynx, which is the voice box right here, has descended. And so it creates a bent resonator that's like a space here and then a space going this way that are roughly about the same size.
So upward and then forward.
The other species have a larynx that's way up there. And so they only use it for sound, and they don't use their tongue very much for articulation when they're making sound. So that's unique about human beings.
The others sound like the Nutty Professor. You're like,
So anyway, so that's one of the unique features. And then you've got, with voice use, you've got this power source, which is the air that comes from your lungs. You've got the tissue here, the vocal folds that vibrate, that create sound, and then that sound's filtered through the space above it. So that's the basics of the way the instrument works.
Now, does that serve any purpose for us, socially or otherwise, that we would be so different?
Yeah, and the way we use our voice too serves a purpose. There was a study not too long ago where people could judge trustworthiness and dominance in, I think it was 500 milliseconds of listening to someone.
Really?
Yeah.
So deep information about social interaction is communicated just by the tonality of your voice.
In milliseconds.
Wow.
So and so there are certain habits that people have that are often rated higher, or like the way a woman modulates the voice, using different pitches and things like that. That's trustworthy. A person who does that, and then same thing with male.
And if they're Valley Girl,
that they speak a little bit higher, and they say, listen, we have to. That's also rated as trustworthy. Honey, please.
Sweetie.
Okay, so it's not just words. So, for example, the writer has that challenge. Mm-hmm. Because if you're just putting words on a page, it's harder to then communicate the tonality of how that's actually being expressed. So the good writers somehow get that in that sentence, right? Either by the pre-descriptor, she responded anxiously, or and then you put that in.
Right.
But you don't need any of that if you're just speaking it.
Right, because you can hear that. So you can hear all these things.
Yep. Right.
Okay, so
and if you understand the emotions, like the trigger for voice goes through the limbic system, which is part of where emotion comes from, hypothalamus.
Trigger for voice.
The trigger, like the impulse.
Oh, the trigger for voice.
The nerve firing for
trigger
voice.
For the interaction of voice with another person.
It runs through the limbic system, and so emotion then can be encoded coded on the voice because it's running through there.
Which is why when you were talking to someone and you say, I'm terribly sorry, but I really need you to move this along. And they say, calm down. And you're like, I am not upset. Yeah.
You a lying motherfucker.
Right, exactly.
It's hard to hide. It's hard to hide because it's there, which was what makes a performer so unique because they're actually taking a signal. You know what happens to your voice if you're really upset. You lose your voice. I mean, you can't do anything. So a performer's taking that signal and they're getting just enough of the emotional information, encoding it on the voice so that a community can understand it. Yeah, on purpose in the moment, but they're not going too far. So there's this whole thing nowadays where people are trying to push people to feel, and then person gets in there and they're like, and they can't sing.
Right.
And it's like, that's too far. So we have to figure out, it's much more complex than that. You can't be void of emotion, but you also can't be overwhelmed by it.
So tell me, can you reflect on her comments about age and what that does with your voice?
Yeah, so first...
Because, all the sopranos, they're done, but, you know, there are no 80-year-old sopranos.
Yeah. It's a rare thing. Marilla Franey, though.
HBO series, I'm sorry.
A shout out to Marilla Franey, though.
Okay.
She's one of the best in the opera world, and she's 80-something now and still sounds beautiful.
But they usually send them out to pasture.
So what's going on there?
Yeah, so what happens, there's a breakdown in the voice, and one of the things that jumped out in that clip was, I believe Kelly's in her 30s.
Yes, so
that's not aging voice. That's like the prime of your life for voice.
Right.
So you get in there, the musculature develops, and your 30s into your 40s, and then it starts right around in the 50s, mid-50s, it starts going downhill in that there's muscle atrophy, there's a thinning of the vocal folds themselves, and there's also ossification in the vocal, in
hardening.
The voice box. Yeah,
hardening
which yeah. gives you less flexibility, and so there's a downgrading of technique.
It would make you less versatile, but it wouldn't mean you still can't put some soulful
Definitely not.
Elements in your song.
Yeah, and what she was saying, the Tony Bennett example. Yeah, he's one of my favorites. He's one of my favorites, and actually functionally, he lasted far more than other singers of his era. Mm-hmm, so, but
the others died. But
yeah. Exactly.
That's Sammy's dead.
They're all gone.
All gone.
That's one way to do.
Outlive Martin's him. Dead.
Outlive him.
That is perfect.
Perry Cuomo's dead.
Right. Bing Crosby. All of them. They're all dead. Nice.
But yeah, if you combine the understanding a person gains through life, that even the sort of lack of ability they may have or flexibility that they may have is made up for in their understanding of emotion and they're more deeply grounded in life. So that shows.
Mm, interesting.
So, you know, today, as I came to learn, your singing voice, like most things in society, can be enhanced by technology.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked Kelly about Auto-tune. Find out how that plays. Let's check it out. Am I allowed to ask you in front of cameras?
Yes.
Do you use Auto-tune?
On records?
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't do it live, but we definitely have used it on records.
Because Auto-tune, you can now do it live. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
What you sing here comes out on the right
note. No, you can do it live. There are people that do concerts that have their vocals, because I know who they are, because so, I know the people that work for them.
Is it just people in the closet about their auto-tune?
No, there are people that auto-tune live. Right. I don't do that live. I don't want to take away from that emotional moment. Mm-hmm. But when it's on record, I don't mind. If I love a performance and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to nail that again, or if I even try it again and I haven't nailed, like, there was just everything was perfect, but one thing, I don't want that one thing to ruin the whole vibe. So I don't mind like using it sparingly, but we definitely don't use it a ton
because it's a major addition to the musician's arsenal, the singer's
arsenal.
Yeah,
I mean, and there are a lot of cool things you can do. I mean, I know a lot of guys in rap use them because it sounds cool. Like,
oh, that's when okay.
We
did a whole program for Nova.
Yeah.
Back when I was host of a Nova spinoff called Nova Science Now, I interviewed the guy who invented Auto-Tune.
Yeah.
And he was telling me about what happens if you change
it.
Yeah, you can manipulate it over the edge, and then it makes that funny
distortion. Robotic kind of weird,
right, and
which can be cool sometimes, like on this we did it on Medicine on this album.
He made it clear that was not the intent. The intent is to fix your note to be the proper note.
Absolutely.
Not to dangle off the side of the waterfall.
Yes, absolutely.
Where all these extra weird noises come from. Yeah.
Yes. And it's also cool, like, okay, there's a song called Medicine. That's where we use it. Like on Medicine, there's this part that goes, never give me high, never give me lit. And I sing it, but then there's this also part, they literally took my vocal and almost like changed it, manipulated it like an octave lower to where it has this like, and it's like this, it sounds like a man. My mom was like, who's the man on your record? I was like, that's my voice. It just manipulated it. Uh-huh. So there's really cool things you can do with it. I think at the end of the day, if you're not capable of doing it live, then I don't think you should maybe be doing it. That's my personal thing. But if it's like gonna ruin a moment that was really beautiful and like you don't want to change that moment, that doesn't bother me.
Yeah, so Brian, would you say autotune in music is analogous to doping in athletics? Mm. Chuck hosts a sports spinoff of Star Talk called Playing with Science, and all manner of these topics come up. But now we have an analog in a whole other field. Mm. You are fixing your performance.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
so that people will applaud rather than voice doping. Yeah,
that's cool.
Doping in sports brings you to the ability to do it though live.
Right.
Whereas autotune does it. Autotune puts it on some kind of digital format. And so I think what Kelly said is right on the money. I think if you can't do it live, what's the point? Because you're trying to commune. Most people perform because they're trying to commune with people.
Yeah, but if you can't perform any longer and autotune helps you hit that note, then that to me sounds just like doping.
It does.
Okay.
I'm
ready for a fight.
No.
That's it. There it is. Settled.
I agree with you, Dr. Tyson.
Another quick one. Do you think that computers will one day, AI, for example, will be able to not only compose an emotional music, but then perform it in a way that we might not even need humans because it'll know how to maximize access to your emotional heartstrings.
I think I'm gonna go on record saying no. Never gonna happen. Yeah, well, I don't want it to happen.
He doesn't want it to happen. It ain't like he don't want it.
By the way, Brian, they'll never be able to write a funny joke either.
Exactly. Right. My two experts.
Right.
We gotta take a quick break. When Star Talk returns, more of my interview with singing sensation Kelly Clarkson. We're back on Star Talk. Co-host Chuck Nice, guest Brian Gill.
Yes.
Vocologist.
Vocologist. So fancy.
So we're featuring my interview with singer, songwriter, voice sensation Kelly Clarkson. And just before we went to break, we were talking about whether autotune, which puts you on note, contrary to how so many people think of autotune as doing a funny thing, you become a warbler or something.
Exactly.
It puts you on note.
Do you believe?
Thank you, Cher.
Yeah.
Are you
darn good?
Are you? And you said it had meaningful analogies to doping in sports, but then during the break, you mentioned that there are actual singers who are actually taking actual steroids.
Yes.
In support of their voice.
Yeah. So some that are legit and they have a big gig that they've got to do, and if you're going to earn $50,000, you're going to do it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And if you take steroids, it can reduce the swelling and enable you to get through a performance. But they're abused often. So folks behind, you know, they'll be backstage in a Broadway show and they'll be looking, who has steroids, and looking for pills.
I need the juice,
that,
man.
Exactly. And it's usually
No, what they have, they're actually pumping iron, too.
Right, exactly.
Oh, they're buff. These are buff people. So.
Wow. That's why the singers are getting buff
exactly
lately.
Right,
my.
Six pack.
So let's get back to my interview with Kelly Clarkson. Did you know she's also an author?
No, I didn't.
She's written children's books.
That doesn't count.
Let me tell you why it counts.
Go ahead.
There will always be children to buy your book.
Well,
whereas there's only one pool of adults at any given time.
This is so true. And but a brilliant marketing scheme does not legitimacy make.
Anyhow, I found out that she wrote a lullaby to go with each one of her books. So I just had to get inside that and find out what was going on.
That's cool.
Let's check it out. I also understand you wrote a lullaby for each of your two books.
I wrote a lullaby for the first one.
I love lullabies.
Yeah, I do too. It was when I was going to write a lullaby for each one, and we might still do that, but the Christmas one, which was the second one in the River Rose series, I actually did a full-on Christmas song for original every once in a while. So we did a full-on Christmas song for the second book, but there's a lullaby for the first one. It's the song I sang to her when she was a baby.
So lullabies, I think it's scientifically demonstrated to be soothing to babies. I mean, yeah. We knew that empirically, but
yes.
I think you can study brain patterns and what parts of it it hits, and it calms anxieties.
It's almost the same as a speaking voice, like a smooth, rather than a, like your voice compared to my speaking voice, yours would be more soothing.
So you can sing and I can speak and we can like go on the road.
Yes, we have a duo. I'm ready.
I say, the universe.
And I go, the universe.
This is actually good. Yeah, I like good. It.
So Brian, is there a definition of a lullaby?
Uh-huh.
The functional definition?
It's, I mean,
other than
from
that,
what I understand,
babies dig it, right? Other
babies
than that.
Dig it. The basic idea is it's a construct of a song that's designed to be super simple, because with their cognitive functioning, children can't process something that's too difficult. So it has really consonant intervals. Not dissonant.
Oh, not dissonant. It's the opposite of dissonant.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Da-da-dum, da-da-dum.
Okay.
Yeah.
Simple.
Mellow.
Yeah.
Yep. And then
nursery
repetitive.
Rhyme-like.
Exactly. And
melodies.
Repetitive is key.
Right.
So repetitive. Something that's repetitive. So that
it's all of music today, basically.
I fall asleep often.
Exactly. It's like, you know, when you listen to the radio, it's like, hey, you're an idiot. You'll like this.
Is that what that?
I'm sorry.
That's the preamble to every song.
Unspoken preamble. Hey, you're an idiot. You might like this.
The dummies are going to love it.
Can I tell you my favorite lullaby?
Ooh.
It's Feed the Bird.
Feed the Birds?
From Mary Poppins.
I don't know it.
Yes, you do.
Do I know it?
Oh, my gosh. And I love just the words. And she sings it to lull the children to sleep. Oh. And she sings about the bird woman at St. Paul's Cathedral.
This is getting scarier
than ever. Tuppence a bag. Tuppence, tuppence, tuppence a bag.
It worked, Neil.
It worked quick. It worked. And man. So there's a bird lady who's homeless,
right,
who you buy bags of crumbs from her to then feed the hungry birds on the steps of St. Paul's.
Oh.
That's sweet.
And there's a line where she says, the saints and apostles look down as she sells her wares. Although you can't see it, you know they are smiling each time someone shows that he cares.
Oh,
this is a really beautiful
comforting
song. Very,
that's gorgeous.
It's beautiful. It's socially conscious, and these are not infants. They're tweens.
Yeah,
the kids are tweens, and so that's my favorite. Well, you got a lullaby?
My favorite lullaby, "Sexual Healing" by Marvin Gaye. I've been really trying, baby. Yeah, yeah. Pwimp, pwimp,
pwimp, pwimp. Brian?
To sleep or get in the bed? Just trying to figure that. There's a difference.
It's not to go to sleep, it's to sleep with.
Two different things, right?
Mine are my wife, Kim, beautiful, most beautiful soprano voice you've ever heard, and she sings to my boys every night. We both do, but she'll sing "Somewhere Over the Rainbow" to one. By request. She takes requests.
Okay.
And then the other one she sings, "The Easter Bunny is coming to town today." The Easter Bunny is coming to town today. And he just sits there.
And he loves it.
Wait, how old are they?
7 and 9.
7 and 9.
Yeah.
So you married another singer?
Yeah. Yes. Because of
that's
her
voice. A thing?
We were performing together. I heard her voice. Nice. She was rehearsing, and I heard this voice, and I was like, man. And then later, I met her. I didn't know it was her voice. And I walked up, and I was like, whoa, man. Ooh. And then I put the two in together.
So it was a mating call.
Yeah, it was. It was. Come to me.
That's awesome.
It's like the penguins in the movie.
Right.
Only it's the sound for just one other person in the whole world.
Everything else was silenced.
That's tremendous.
And the sun rose.
That's awesome, man.
That was cool.
Oh, congratulations. Yep.
Good choice.
A house of music.
Yeah, for sure. The boys sing really well because we sing to them all the time.
Man.
So
yeah,
that's a singing sense. Household.
That's I grew up in one of those. We called ourselves the Von Blacks instead of
the Von Traps.
Instead of the Von Traps, yes. We were the Von Blacks. Every night when we went to bed, I was like, so long, farewell, it's time to say goodbye. You know, good night, bitch.
that's the Von Black
the
element
Von
Black. Of it.
The Von Black. the tender story.
What's that other book It's a parody on Goodnight Moon. It's it's
Go the Fuck to Sleep. That is the name of I'm serious.
Get the fuck to sleep.
Get the fuck to sleep. I read that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a real book. Yeah.
I'm done with you. Lay down. Shut up.
Oh, man. All right.
Okay, just to atone for this bit of the conversation.
Yes, exactly.
We got to put a link in this to when LeVar Burton read to me Goodnight Moon.
Oh, that's right. Oh,
yeah, he read it to me.
That's very cool.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
I love that one.
Touching moments.
So in this last clip with Kelly, we bonded over the poetic beauty of the Great American Total Solar Eclipse of August 2017. Let's check it out. So you're from Tennessee?
I'm from Texas, but I've been in Tennessee for over a decade.
Okay, so you're a resident of Tennessee.
I'm a resident.
Okay, now I arranged to have a total solar eclipse go completely through your state.
Actually, Sumner County, where our farm is exactly like one of the best places.
So maybe my invitation was still in the
lost
mail.
Lost in the mail. I'll
go back home and check.
You could have come.
Maybe it was there.
We had a cookout.
I don't know.
We were on our land just hanging out.
I would maybe it's still in the.
I just didn't have your address, the right one.
Did you have any like astro person on your ranch for this?
No.
You had no scientists on the ranch?
No. I love that I appear that I have scientist friends too.
Everybody
I'm that cool.
He's a scientist at arm's reach.
Well, we do have Chris Dye on our team, which he's a genius. We call him MacGyver on tour, but he wasn't in Tennessee at the time. But okay. we were floored though. It was one of the coolest things I've ever been a part of.
Followed by a moon shadow.
It was so cool.
Steeped in darkness.
Steeped in darkness. Write that book right now, sir. Look at
steeped
you.
Steeped in darkness.
Nice.
Okay, so the next time there's a total solar eclipse over your farm, you're going to call me up.
I will call you up. I'm going to call you, and you aren't going to come, but I'm going to call you. You think I won't. Actually, the next time to see it, I think, is it, where's the next, one they said that was coming, was it in 24?
Well,
no.
well, there's an eclipse every couple of years, so they're not as rare as the press would have you believe.
No, agreed.
Right. But, so, and nowadays we have airplanes, so
yeah.
Like there's one like in South America, like next year or the year after, 2019, I think. So you're never really that far away from the next one.
Yeah.
And lately, by the way, 2/3 of Earth's surface is ocean, so there are entrepreneurial sort of ocean people who say, "We'll sail our boat into the eclipse path," and then you have an ocean cruise the rest of the time you're there.
What?
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty sexy.
Yeah, it totally works. Completely.
Nice bottle of wine?
Totally.
Yes. So, total eclipse of the heart? Nothing I can do. Have you seen that video?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So I tweeted during the eclipse all the songs I knew that referenced a total solar eclipse. So you should look it up. There's some songs in there. No, you can make the eclipse album.
Yes.
You know? No, we'll totally.
Oh, my God, that's great.
We'll collaborate.
And listen.
You hear that, Atlantic Records? That's your next.
The duet between us. You could be like the you're the voice, though. You're the sexy voice in Boys to Men, and I'll be the singer. You do that. Hey, baby. You just come in and you just start talking it out. Talk science, dirty science. Talk nerdy to me.
Kelly, look west.
Look west.
Here comes the moon shadow.
Moon.
1,800 miles an hour.
Yeah. And I'll just come in with, whoa, 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 whoa.
It is a cone through space of darkness.
darkness.
Awesome.
She's every bit as fun as that conversation sounded like it was. She also sounded pretty authentic to me in every way. I mean, I was totally maybe people just can be like this, you know, you kind of like you were friends your whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I used to take that personally, like, wow, we really bonded. But I think they're just like that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that anyone in a conversation with them might feel the same way about them. So. Right. So
she just has that type of spirit, you think?
Spirit, that's a good word.
Yeah. Grounded, down to earth.
Right, yeah,
really sounds
anchored.
Yeah. Solid person. Yes.
Right.
I'm more of a fan after hearing your interview with her, I have to say. And by more of a fan, I mean I am now a fan.
Love that so soft.
That wasn't your thing, right?
I'm just, yeah.
It wasn't your thing.
No, I've always liked Kelly Clarkson, always. Yeah.
So this Eclipse song that we were sort of sketching, do you have a favorite Universe song?
It's really not a universe. It's more of the closest celestial body in the solar system than it is a universe song. But fly me to the moon.
Oh.
And let me play amongst the stars.
Okay. So now, people think of that song being about the moon, but the moon is like the closest thing it
That's
sings
what
about.
I said, yeah.
It also sings about Jupiter and Mars.
That on Jupiter, let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
That's it.
Let's Ladies go. And gentlemen, that's been Star Talk.
Take it on the road.
We're the three tenor. No, the three whatever.
The three amigos.
Brian, thanks for coming in for this.
My pleasure.
We'll have to find you again.
Please, bring me back.
We will totally bring you back.
Yeah, all right.
Fun
because, yeah.
Because we get singers. You know, what are we going to do with this singer this time? You know, but if we get a vocologist, he can come at it from every angle.
Absolutely.
Bring it on.
Exactly.
Ready.
You got it.
I'm going to start using that. So what do you do? I'm a vocologist.
Here's my card.
Yeah, you can't say I'm not. You don't even know what it is. How the hell are you going to tell me I'm not a vocologist and you don't even know what the hell it is? Okay?
All right, Chuck, always good having you.
Always a pleasure.
I've been your host, Neil deGrasse Tyson, your personal astrophysicist. I want to thank Brian, Chuck, and of course, Kelly for making this show happen. You've been listening and possibly even watching Star Talk. And as always, I bid you to keep looking up.